My dad came home one day and he said that he was diagnosed with cancer. What we have is gold. We can actually save lives. We can actually change lives. Then COVID happened, the pandemic happened. And that was for us another lesson that when God opens a door, you need to move.
Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Some journeys of faith start with a question, while others begin with a calling. But for Reuben Stuger, his began with a crisis, one that shook his world and forced him to ask what he really believed about God, about family, and himself.
Reuben's journey is one marked by both triumph and deep personal loss. And painful questions. Reuben doesn't avoid those questions. He walks straight through them. This is a story of faith refined by fire, of resilience and calling, and of a God who leads gently, even through the unthinkable.
My name is Reuben Stuger, missionary and president of Back to Eden Lifestyle here in Panama. I am husband, and I have four children, four lovely girls, and I have one on its way. My coming to Christ, it came through a crisis. One of the biggest crises that I have had in my life, but also I think one of the first crises that I experienced in my life at the age of 17, 16. My dad came home one day and he said that he was diagnosed with cancer. That's a shock. We had to now recalibrate. What are we going to do? And we obviously, the first thing that you're thinking, like, okay, what do the doctors say? What should you do? And we were living in the Netherlands. That's where I grew up. I was born in Guyana, but grew up in the Netherlands. And the way that we treat cancer is traditionally. We have to use the chemo, we have to use whatever the doctor prescribes. And my dad basically came with the news that he wasn't going to do any traditional treatment. For those that do not know, within the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have something called the Spirit of Prophecy. And there are a lot of health counsels within those writings. And now my dad was saying that we are going to put these things into practice. So for us, this was a scary thing. What are you going to do now in changing your lifestyle? And you think that is going to help you? And the doctors are saying, no, you need to do the chemo. You need to go through these procedures. For us, a questionable decision. Why he can't do a combination of both? Why you can't do a bit of the tradition with a bit of the natural. There is a saying that they say, there's no testimony without a test. And I believe that is true for everyone. I believe everyone in the world has a story. And God just wants to get that story out of us. We end up in situations in where he wants to guide us through it. I was a young man, still trying to find out my role, my understand what God really wanted from me, heard the message, grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My dad is a pastor. So we were well acquainted with religion and going to church and doing the churchy things and knowing what to say. But it was never really something that was mine. And with this crisis, God was giving me and giving us an eyewitness account. He wanted to show us that he is real. and that if we put him to the test, he will come true for us. In Holland, he was even placed on what we call like, they place you on arbeidsongeschikt, that you can't work anymore. And they had to, because he was living longer than they expected him to live, they had to go and revise that. And he needed to visit another doctor and for them to go back over his record. And they were asking like, how did you do this? So this is a real experience that we have had, that lifestyle change can save lives. And he completely healed. His cancer was gone. And this made a big change in my life, because now I know that certain things work. No one can come and tell me that it doesn't, because I've seen it, I've experienced it. We're 20 years further and he's still alive. For us, that was our eyewitness account that what we have is gold. We can actually save lives. We can actually change lives by these lifestyle messages that are found in the spirit of prophecy. So from then on, we set out to find out what else is there in these writings. What else have we not been reading? What else have we not been practicing? And it caused us to make a commitment. And the commitment was that we want to help as many people as we can by sharing these messages with them. There is where the missionary mindset started to come in. So I like to say that my journey, my conviction, my conversion, my commitment to follow the Lord came off of a crisis. And there are three main crises that I can identify in this whole, in my life story, as I may put it. This was the first one, us understanding that, hey, there is something in this message that is powerful, that is life-changing, that can actually save lives. And from that moment, it was a resolve in our hearts, in our family, that we want to share this message. This message is worth the while, and it's not worth the while because we've heard somebody speak about it. No, it's worth the while because we have experienced it. The person we love is still around.
Reuben's first crisis showed him that God is real and active, but one miracle doesn't shield us from life's next test. This healing was only the starting point. The years ahead would challenge Reuben's trust and reveal how faith grows when life refuses to go as expected.
So after our eyewitness account, we wanted to work for the Lord, and we wanted to do it in a way that we were counseled. So there are three main ones that we read that we wanted to apply. The first one, it says, again and again, the Lord has instructed that our people are to take their families away from the cities into the country where they can raise their own provisions, for in the future the problem of buying and selling will be a very serious one. So that is a counsel that is out there, and we were receiving this in 2006-2007, around that period. So this is one. The second one was, we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in our effort to secure country properties at low figure. And from these outpost centers, we are to work the cities. And outpost centers is basically a missionary training facility. If I can put it in layman's term, places where people can come and be trained and go out to do mission work. And then the third one was, repeatedly, the Lord has instructed us that we are to work the cities from outpost centers. And then it says this, especially is it important that our youth be shielded from the temptation of city life. That became our ministry. And we started to teach about that we needed to get back to God's diet. I went back and I found some statements that really blew my mind and changed my life from that day forward. And these became the foundation of our ministry. And it started first with our name. God inspired our minds to come up with the name Back to Eden. It represents God's ideal. And I'm going to read this statement. I'm going to share with you the secrets or the secret of Back to Eden and developing a ministry the way I believe God wants us to develop it. It says the following: character building is the most important work ever entrusted to human beings. And never before was its diligent study so important as now. Never was any previous generation called to meet issues so momentous. Never before were young men and young women confronted by perils so great as confront them today. So we have an exclusive statement there. It says, it's the most important work. Is there anything more important than most important? Is my question? No. So for me, I needed to put a check mark on that. Most important work is character building. So the ministry that we're doing is not only about sharing the health message. It has to be about character building first. Because, you know, what I saw when my dad was recovering, it was more about character than it was about the things that he was taking. It had to do with, one, a mindset, positivity, the way you approach this. And it also had to do with character, because you have to deny self of certain things that you like. So the whole health message within our church is really a character developing message. It's secondarily, I believe, it's a health message. And listen to the exclusivity in this statement. It says, the strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. So is there anything stronger than strongest? That's something that put me to think. And both of these statements have to do with character. If you're talking about loving and lovable, that's character. The greatest work is character. And then there's this third statement that also has an exclusive exclusivity in it as well. It says, the greatest evidence of the power of Christianity that can be presented to the world is a well-ordered and well-disciplined family. This will recommend the truth as nothing else can, for it is a living witness of its practical power upon the heart. These three statements put together, it's what we as a ministry stand for. This is what the foundation of Back to Eden became, because now we're talking about practicality. We're talking about the message that would affect each and everyone we come in contact with. We're speaking about things that we can be daily involved in, because it's not all the time you'll be dealing with people that are sick, or you'll be encountering somebody that has some type of malady that you can attend to. But every day you come in contact with an individual that you need something from. You go to the bank, you go to wherever you go, you will encounter people. And that means that anytime I encounter a person, what do they see? What is left behind? It's either they see me as a loving and or lovable person. So it started to make the gospel more practical for us. And it started to put the crisis that God would place in our lives in a sensible way. We understood it in a better way. So after a big high, talking about my dad recovering from leukemia, him overcoming cancer, you know, all of us are excited. I mean, this is something new for us. How can we share this? We realize that God has a process of getting his people where he needs them to get. And after this high, we had the next trial before us. And the next trial was a very difficult one, a hard one. Something that sometimes when we have testimonies, we highlight the positive side. But my mom got sick. And my mom was instrumental in helping my dad recover even from his cancer. And she got sick and she passed away. So after a major high and us being excited, we're going to do this ministry, we're going to move to the country, we're going to open this lifestyle center, we got a hit as a family. And all of us obviously are asking, like, well, why, God? What is this? How can one be healed and the other one not? However, all these trials, I believe, are part of the process. It's God forming our characters, forming us to do ministry. And there's a text that actually helped us through this, this moment. It's found in 2 Timothy 3, 12. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So for us, that was a lesson that if we want to do ministry, we have to be able to identify with the pain even of others. And this was the largest, biggest pain that we have faced as a family.
Losing his mother shook the whole family. Grief changes us. It slows us down and makes us ask what truly matters. But even in that pain, God was quietly preparing a new direction. Sometimes sorrow becomes the doorway to the calling God has waiting.
The next trial was the largest, biggest hurricane that has ever hit St. Martin. And that was something that shook us up, woke us back up. Like, why were we here in St. Martin again? We were coming here as a stepping stone to our final destination as to where we were going to do country living. So during that period, after we went through this hurricane, we received calls from Panama, because we visited Panama just previously before the hurricane. And we were able to make a deal and we were able to purchase our first property here in Panama. And that purchase was not easy. We had to give up everything. Some of us, we had to give up our jobs. We had to empty all of our savings in order to make that purchase. And it took us 3 more years before we actually started developing, because in 2020, we did not really do much in development in Panama, even though we bought the property in 2017. We thought, like, we're going to just do this from abroad. We're going to make money, send money down, and then build a lifestyle center from a distance. Then COVID happened. The pandemic happened.
Okay, guys, at the moment, we reach Tocumen, Panama.
We are now moving from St. Martin, moving from the Netherlands, because there's multiple families moving now, going to Panama, opening a lifestyle center. And that was for us another lesson that when God opens a door, you need to move. We had the work to do, and we did get distractions. We had people saying, like, what are you doing? You're moving with 4 children and you're moving to a country that is still on lockdown and you don't have a way of providing for them. The future looks unpredictable. But we knew that God had opened the door for us to work in Panama. And the message for everyone is that when God has given you something to do, you need to do it. And you need to do it with everything that you have. And once you start doing that, you'll see that he will be opening up more doors for you. Everything was going good. We were building. And it's all started with small things, the things that you can do. Because it all started with us in machetes and cutting down plants and trees, making a path. And it ended up us developing roads. And then it went over to building a bridge. And then it went over to building more roads. So God was building our faith each step of the way until the next crisis.
Just as hope was rising again, another deep loss struck. It raised hard, honest questions. Yet even there, God left a gentle sign. Reuben's sister stood on the very land that would become their ministry's new beginning. Light breaking through darkness. Her passing didn't end the story. It helped launch what came next.
She got sick And it was a very difficult time for us as a family. Obviously, you're asking, why, God? Why at this moment we're trying to do your work? Why are these trials happening? And there's something that I want everyone to realize, and sometimes we forget it, and I forgot it in the time that we're dealing with this. We are on probation. A probation is a testing period. And God allows things to happen in our lives so that we can see who we really are. And with these trials that God allows in our lives, that's what He's doing. He's testing our faithfulness. God loved Job. Job was tested. God loved his disciples. His disciples were tested. Some failed the test. The first time Peter went through a test, he failed it. But he got a second chance. And the second time around, Peter passed it. And that is our story as well. It's our testimony. If you want a testimony, you need a test. After a struggle with cancer, my sister eventually passed away. So this is a low for the ministry. But to God's glory, a few months after that, God has blessed us with a property, which we call Back to Eden 2.0, that surpasses all of our desires. Everything that we needed was here. And you see, God in His goodness, in His mercy, He allowed my sister to even see this property. We were able to come here and we were able to explore it and sing. She had her last song service right here on this terrain. And we made the announcement that we are going to make this purchase. And she was so happy. And she was so elated to know that we were moving forward by God's grace. And she was put to rest with that understanding in her mind. So even in her loss, we saw God's hands in it. We saw that He was merciful in giving her a glimpse of where we were going to be. Just as how Moses got a glimpse of the land of Canaan and knowing that everything was going to be okay, I believe she received that comfort as well. So in all of these trials, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And if you're going through a struggle, and if you are going through some type of loss, I want you to know that it's a test. God is trying you, and God wants you to come out on the other side to glorify His holy name. The story of Back to Eden has become one of character building. Character building is our central pillar. Every program that we will do here, that's what you'll hear. And the reason for this is because I believe it's given to us in the Garden of Eden. When God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man into our own image, into our own likeness. God then continued to say that, who is God like? The Bible says God is love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we learn what love is. Love is patience. Love is kind. Love is seek it not her own, is not easily provoked, think it no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So love is all of these characteristics of God. That's where God wants to get us back to. He wants to get us back to Eden, when we were in His image, in His likeness. For this reason, we have opened up Back to Eden 2.0, where we will be doing what we call organic evangelism. And where we will be teaching people to do organic evangelism. And organic evangelism is simply meeting the needs of our community, meeting the needs of our young people. And we have developed something that is called the LEARN program. The LEARN program stands for labor, education, agriculture, recreation, and nutrition. Within that program, we're trying to help our young people to detox from media and get back to nature, get back to Eden. Within God's hedge, as we will say. May God be with you as you continue on your journey to find Him where He is leading you.
Reuben's journey shows us how God shapes us through crisis, loss, and calling. Back to Eden 2.0 is living proof that God rebuilds what breaks and restores purpose where hope once felt gone.
You may be grieving or searching for direction yourself. Scripture says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted." We are not promised a life without hardship, but we are promised His presence in it. If you feel unsure or distant from faith, take this as a simple invitation. God sees you, loves you, and is gently leading you. May His hope meet you today and guide you toward a life restored and renewed, a life led back to Eden. As you heard in Reuben Stuger's story, crisis has a way of revealing who we are and who God is. Whether you're facing illness, loss, or a crossroads like Reuben's family did, you don't have to walk through it alone. Our free offer today, Helping Daily Living, is a small book filled with practical, Christ-centered guidance for the very moments when your life feels overwhelming. If you're seeking strength, direction, or peace in the middle of your own journey, we'd love to send it to you, free of charge. Here's how you can receive your copy of Help in Daily Living.
To each one of you who supports It Is Written Canada through your prayers and financial gifts, thank you. You make it possible for stories like Reuben's to reach hearts across our nation and around the world. And if today's program has inspired you, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. To keep this ministry on the air, we rely on the generosity of viewers like you. You can make a donation on our website, and you can also support the mission of It Is Written Canada by following us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribing to our YouTube channel and listening to our podcasts.
Friends, if you long for the joy and peace that only Jesus can give, open His Word every day. Remember how Jesus defeated the enemy in the wilderness. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." As you cling to God's Word, you will find strength, hope, and life in Him.